address is ORCBTU10, and that's the number 10, at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Please join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. And thank you once again, Senator Manning, for giving us a detailed accounting of Oregon's road to progress to achieve an accessible health care system. You may have me moving back to Oregon so I can get some Manning care. Cheered for Manning care. All right, everyone. And that is a wrap for Holler for Labor. Thank you, everybody. Be safe and have a happy new year.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KABU 90.7 FM.
Come inside, take a seat. Long last we finally meet. Know that you've heard my name. I'm your guide through business, a big boy game.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. And today we are talking with Buzzy Martin. Buzzy, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Happy holidays. I'm very humbled to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's so great to have you on. So you have a lot of history working as an advocate inside the prisons. You've been doing it for a long time. Why don't we start by first of all just telling a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm a musical mentor, and I've been doing this for about 35 years. I work with at-risk kids in juvenile hall, court, community schools, and probation camps, and group homes. And then that led me to going into San Quentin for a pilot program that lasted 3.5 years. So I also mentor adults that get out of prison too. And then that led to me working, like I said, in San Quentin. That went to myself writing a book and writing a bunch of prison-based songs and a movie coming out next year. And I absolutely love doing what I do by helping these people that have been falling through the cracks.
And yourself as a musician, what's your history as a musician?
Originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan, moved out to California in 1979 to seek my fame and fortune, like the big rock and roll guy that everybody did when we came out here. And along the way, played everything from the Fisherman's Wharf to a lot of opening shows, bars, clubs, nightclubs, through Reno, up and down the coast. And then started working with at-risk kids, teaching them the gift of music. So played music all of my life since I was 14 years old. Haven't done really much of anything else as far as the day job goes, except for play music. Play guitar, singer, songwriter, keyboard player, and been making people dance most of my life.
And you may have heard Buzzy on our holiday show. On Christmas Day, we played Buzzy's song about Christmas. So right. What's the name of that song, Buzzy?
It's I'll Be Coming Home for Christmas, Mama. And the reason I wrote that is I deal with a lot of women that their kids are, you know, incarcerated. And so when you say, you know, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, you can see them cringe. And I just felt like, you know, everybody's so happy around the holidays, except for these families that have, you know, children and incarcerated, whether they're men or women or boys or girls. And I just felt that they really needed a song. And I was blessed enough to actually write this song that talks about a son that when he closes his eyes, he can smell the smells and hear the sounds of Christmas. And he just wants to be home with his mom. And I get that. I get that when, I don't know if you have any children or not, but you know, when women bear these children, I mean, they feel the pain as their children do when they're incarcerated. And I just really wanted to have something for Christmas for these families that really don't have any holiday or cheer when they can listen to a song that they would get.
Yeah, we always say that when somebody gets sentence to prison, it's not just for them. It actually, it's a sense that the whole family.
Oh, absolutely.
Oftentimes, yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's, you know, when I would talk to the kids in juvenile hall, I would say, do you guys realize that your moms and dads are crying in the parking lot? And they had no clue. These kids didn't know at all. And it was really heart-wrenching to know that, you know, all of the families are, you know, I don't care if it's aunt and uncles, grandpas, whoever, when someone's incarcerated, the whole family feels that pain.
Yeah. So your early work, you started by going into San Quentin. That's some place where a lot of people who do prison advocacy, you know, get started. I mean, there's so many great programs, so many great stories that have come out of San Quentin. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience? What did you do in San Quentin? How did that affect you?
It affected me a lot. The word that I get a lot is, you know, like you just said, well, how would it affect me? I know what the word freedom means. I kind of thought of what it meant, but I really understand the meaning of freedom. I got the very first minute I walked in, it was life-changing. It was like going to the moon. Because I didn't wear the cloth of an inmate, which is denim, and I didn't have a uniform on as the officers. So I right away was an alien. I was from another planet walking in, and plus carrying a guitar, I was, you know, everybody looked at me. So in that aspect, it was definitely life-changing. I now know how women feel when guys give you that look and they check out your body, because I got that same look from all the inmates. And it's all about intimidation and manipulation, as the kids do in juvenile hall. But the thing that I got the most out of this was the gift of music, to see how it transforms and changes men's lives. You know, Emma, you would be amazed to be in a room with all of these murderers and rapists, and they start crying, singing Christmas songs, or they go into character doing the monster mash. And when they would walk into the room, the arch room, they would walk through and they'd be these hardened men that are criminals, and when they walked through the door, they all became little boys. And I seen that every night. And so for me, it was a big change to see how they're just humans. I mean, people would say to me, so what do they look like? How can you work with those kind of people? And I try to explain to them, they're us. They're our brothers and sisters. They just fell through the cracks of life. You know, some forgot how to smile, some forgot to have any heart whatsoever. And through the gift of music, I was allowed to show them passion and compassion and just to be human for a few moments of their life. So that's what it taught me. But the most thing was just freedom. The freedom factor for me is I can go to bed in my own bed. I don't have to worry about being beat up or manipulated or raped. I can go in my own little private bathroom, because I'm kind of a shy guy. I can eat whatever I want to eat, dress however I want to dress. And those things are non-existent when you're in an institution.
San Quentin has a little bit of a history within, you know, pop culture, because of Merle Haggard, who, you know, did time in San Quentin.
Sure.
Before he became famous. And also Johnny Cash did at least two concerts at San Quentin.
Correct.
That were recorded. What kind of music did you find people wanting to explore when you went into San Quentin to teach? How does music, what does music mean to people if they're locked up in prison for, you know, a long term?
Emma, you get great questions. I love you a lot. So basically, they really like country music, and I can understand that. ZZ Top and the Rolling Stones are the two number one biggest deals that, you know, that I got requests on, and Elvis Presley, that was a big one too. But country was a huge a deal with all these guys. They wanted to, you know, do the country songs, Your Cheating Heart and Hey Good Looking, and, you know, as much Merle and Johnny Cash as they could get. Of course, everybody wanted to do Folsom Prison Blues. That was a big one. So right off the top, that was, you know, my mainstay of doing a lot of those kinds of songs, rocking songs that these guys could all understand and were easy, because I would have 13 guys in a class, and I'd have to be able to teach these guys in 3 hours at least a couple of songs, and some didn't play and some didn't sing, and some were really, really great guitar players. So that was a big one. And then, you know, as far as what music taught these guys, it was a release. I wish and pray that they would have music classes in all at-risk court community school juvenile halls for kids. It should be mandatory to have it in all of these juvenile halls, because I believe that music is a gift and it moves the heart. If you can move the heart, then maybe there's a chance of giving this little kid hope so he won't end up in county jail and prison. And so that's what I take away from it, is when I would see these guys, these hardened prisoners, just transform into little kids and sing and try to play. Even if they couldn't do it, they were there to try to learn. I wish we could get them when they were little kids, when they're falling through the cracks, before it's too late. And so for me, it was, yeah, definitely the gift of music transforms lives. I've seen it thousands of times, men and women both. If you give them the opportunity, like when I'm in juvenile hall, I use Reese's peanut butter cups as a little tool. So I would say to you, Emma, come on up and play the bongo drum. And you would say, I'm not gonna do that. Not gonna happen. I'm a little home girl. I'm not interested. You're gonna make me look stupid. And I go, come on, Emma, just try it. You're 13 years old. Just be a kid and try it. And you say, no way. And I say, how about two Reese's peanut butter cups? And of course, in juvenile hall, you don't get Reese's peanut butter cups. And you say, okay, I'll do it. And I have you. You've become a 13-year-old little girl. And that's what the whole secret is. And so if you can do that and capture the heart of a kid and capture the heart of an adult through the gift of music, that's magic.
In your experiences, like when you go to San Quentin or when you go to work at juvenile facilities, are they allowed to have musical instruments in their cells? Is there a place where there are musical instruments that they can go practice and play?
Juvenile hall, no. Everything's locked up. Prison, in San Quentin, there are a couple of areas. The main unit, you can take your own guitars or the state issue guitars back to your cell, because you're a lifer and they know that you're not going to do anything with it. You're just going to practice. Any other parts of the prison, absolutely not. You can't sign that stuff out because it could be a weapon. But the guys that I worked with that were lifers on North Block, these guys, you know, had the families buy the guitars for them. And I would, if they had to change strings, then I would change their strings and I would have to get the strings back. You couldn't keep the strings because they make tattoos out of some of the strings, or worse yet, you could kill somebody. So every time I changed the strings, I would have to keep those old strings, put the new strings on. And some got to keep them, but 95%, no, there's no way you could have them in your cell.
Yeah. That's too bad, because it sounds like having a musical instrument around would really make a difference for a lot of people who are incarcerated.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I don't think there's a lot of music programs going on in most of the institutions in the United States. There was a pilot program at San Quentin, and I'm not sure if it's still going on now, because I know they're going through a lot of changes, good changes. But I think that, you know, having music, drama, dance, any of the arts in any of the prisons is a great thing. And getting back to juvenile halls, you know, it all starts there. So I think that those kids really need that extra nudge of hope and love in their lives from doing the arts. Absolutely.
Can you talk about why you believe it makes a difference to reach kids when they're young? Is that something that you saw from going into San Quentin and seeing people who are older, who'd maybe gone through several times before they ended up at San Quentin?
Absolutely. You know, at least from my personal perspective, a lot of this comes from divorce of a family with the kids. And then they start acting out. And nowadays, we have no time for these little lads and lasses. So we instantly put them right in the juvenile hall because we have no time for them. Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing their thing and stuff. And unfortunately, no communities really care. So once they get to juvenile hall, you know, what do you have? You have other kids that got problems and it just festers into that. So, you know, my feeling is really trying to, if you do have these kids incarcerated, ask little Johnny, why have you been in juvenile hall 20 times? What is it at home that we need to change or to help you with? We don't do that as society. So I think that, you know, a lot of people ask me, what can they do to help out? I just explained to them, you know, if you're in your own community, there's a lot of things you can do by volunteering, being a mentor, something, adopting something that you can try to help. So I think that as society goes, it really does start with the child. And when we have these guys and girls incarcerated in juvenile halls and court community schools, and I think every city has one, and I know Portland has a juvenile hall. I don't know how big it is, but if you were to have programs where you could re-educate or unteach and unlearn these kids of what they've been taught, because again, it goes with video games. I sound really old now, Emma. Video games, movies, some of the music, you know, it's just trash. And we really perpetuate on having, you know, this gangster thud lifestyle, or worse, just a criminal activity. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope nowadays. And that's one thing that we really try to, I try to do with kids, is give them a little hope and let them be a kid for a minute. We don't allow kids to be kids anymore. I went to one of my friend's houses yesterday to give him a guitar lesson, and he had a 7 and 10 year old grandkids over there, both boys. And they were watching Grand Theft Auto on the video. And I was like, they're 10 years old. I can't believe he's doing this. And so I had to mention to him, what are you doing? Which I'm the bad guy, because I'm trying to point out that they're 10 years old. Have them watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life or The Polar Express. But why are you watching Grand Theft Auto when he's 10 years old? So, I'm old. I'm 68 years old. So I was taught as an early kid to have honor, respect, integrity, be truthful with all, you know, with my parents and all the adults. And that seems to have been lost in the mix. So to answer your question again, it really starts with, you know, kids with a divorced family or parents that don't really know how to raise their kids and don't ask for help. And here we go. And we have a whole generation of kids that really don't know how to have any social skills or any love or integrity in their life. So hopefully we, you and I, as adults, can kind of show these kids what it's all about.
So based on some of your work, you wrote a book, and then you also, that book, I guess maybe you made into a movie. Let's talk about your book first. Can you tell me a little bit about your book?
Yeah, so my book is called, it's on Penguin Books. It's called Don't Shoot, I'm the Guitar Man. And how I got that title was, there's a part in the prison called H Unit, and this is the worst of the worst of the worst inmates. And to get through, you have 7 checkpoints. And once you get in, it's just like Stellick 13. You have the dogs barking and all the officers and the catwalk with the guns. And they would call me the Guitar Man. And so they would buzz me in and they would say, the Guitar Man's here. Music class starts in 10 minutes. Now, that goes over the intercom. And I know that 1,500 inmates now have just heard that I'm going to be walked through the main yard to this other office. Excuse me. So one of the nights I was there, one of the officers said, hey, look, if you ever hear guns being shot, just put your guitar down and put your hands in the air. And I said, I'll just yell it, I'm the Guitar Man. And that was all ha, ha, ha. But I put that in my back pocket. And so that's, you know, how that whole story came about with having the title for the book. And it was just basically my journal of working for 3.5 years with San Quentin inmates and juvenile hall boys and girls. I kept an audio diary going the whole time on this cassette tape player, which that turned into a book that now has turned into a major motion picture. Excuse me. And that's called Guitar Man. And that is done by a Bay Area company called Prodigy Motion Pictures. If you just go to prodigymotionpictures.com, they'll see the trailer and everything. And I can send you that trailer when we're done here too, if you want, Emma.
And that, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
and that basically has won 17 independent film festivals, and we're really excited to see it come out next year about March.
That's great. Will that be coming out in local theaters?
Yeah, I do believe it's going to be coming out in local theaters and streaming after that, is what I've been told.
Wonderful.
Very excited.
I'm a little curious because I know that there was a movie produced by Sony and like 1994, 2000, something like that, also called Guitar Man. Did you have any issues around copyright?
No, I think, you know, I don't, you know, I just, it's not my movie, so, you know, I don't have the guilt, you know, I just wrote the book and they do that, but isn't that from the guitar player
or something? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a documentary, so
yeah,
I'm not, I don't think there's going to be any legal problems with any of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to copyright Guitar Man because it's like...
Well, Elvis Presley had a song called Guitar Man, so...
Yeah, there's actually, right, exactly. There's a song based on that, too.
Yeah, so I don't think you can copyright that. I, you know, I haven't heard any issues on any of that copyrights with the title and stuff.
Yeah, sorry, just going down the rabbit hole there.
No, you're a great interviewer. I appreciate your questions.
Yeah. That's great. So how was it? What role did you play in making the movie? Were you like there the whole time they were filming it? Were you offering feedback or did they just kind of base the movie on your book and just kind of go from there?
Yes. They just based about 80% of the movie the movie on my book. And then they just spiced it up from there. And thank God, you know, most of the stuff that went on in the movie didn't happen because I would be a nervous wreck.
But oh, yeah.
It does take you, like, in my book, it talks about a lot of stuff, but in the movie, it takes you deeper inside prison and deeper inside the lives of these kids that I work with. So I was on a set a little bit, but, you know, for me personally, I preferred not to go because it really brought back a lot of memories. I mean, it was pretty brutal to watch some of this stuff. And I deal with a lot of situations that most people would run from. So I have smelled death. I've been in situations that are pretty gnarly. And so for me, I prefer to just let the actors do what they do and tell the story. And I'm fine with, you know, however it turns out. Fortunately, I've seen it a few times at some of these film festivals. It's amazing. Go ahead.
And you carry, I mean, in addition to what you were telling about your own experience. I mean, all of us who volunteer at corrections facilities also carry the memories and the stories of the people that we work with, which is also very impactful, just remembering their stories, what they have to share, because we're really witnesses to their lives in so many ways.
Absolutely. You're an angel. I mean, you know, I'm glad we hooked up the way we hooked up, because as soon as I talked on the phone, I knew you were an angel. You know, fortunately for me, I can write these songs and these words that I can express. I now have become the voice of the incarcerated. I get it when people try to compare me to Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and Steve Earle, but, you know, I'm more of a storyteller to help facilitate their voice, because a lot of them don't have that voice. So, you know, I call all of us trench dwellers, because most people wouldn't do what you and I do. When I asked the band to go in and perform with these guys, it was kind of hard for these guys to go okay right away, because we work with the dark side of people. But when you see the people's faces light up, and I'm sure as you have too, it's everything. It's everything to know that you are making a difference in someone else's life just by being kind. Isn't that so weird, Emma, that just trying to be kind to somebody is like a novelty?
Have you kept up with, have you had a chance to keep up with any of the people that you've worked with over the years?
Kid-wise, you know, I work with a lot of homeless shelters, and kid-wise, I've seen a lot of the kids from juvenile hall end up in homeless shelters, and they've told me stories about being inside San Quentin. Some made it, some didn't. Some kids I will see, and they'll look at me, and they'll stare at me, and it's like a guy that, you know, it's usually a guy. And he gives me that look, and he's all tattooed out, and he'll go, "Is your name Fuzzy?" And it's like, okay, that's good. Fuzzy's close. And then I go, "It's Buzzy." And they go, "You were my music teacher in juvenile hall." All right. And then they'll introduce me to their wife and their little kids. And, you know, those are success stories because people ask me all the time, so what are success stories? Well, just being alive to some of these kids is a success.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just being alive. But, you know, to have a job and a home and a family, that's like icing on the cake. But, yeah, I do see a lot of students that I worked with in juvenile halls. As far as inmates that I worked with in prison, not so much, but I am making a lot of friends with inmates that are out now because they've heard me or my story or they've contacted me. So I'm making a lot of new friends, and I'm very honored to do that because I just feel like they're all my brothers and sisters, as you probably feel too. We're all together on this. It just, you know, holding your hand right now doing this interview just makes me feel really good knowing that we just got another person added to all of our people trying to help out, right?
Buzzy, this has really been wonderful talking with you. If people want to learn more about you and your work, where can they go to find out about you?
Well, you can Google me. You know, BuzzyMartin.com is my website. Facebook, Buzzy Guitar Man Martin. But that's a lot of it. And SoundCloud, I got a bunch of my my prison based songs up there on SoundCloud. And if anybody ever wants to contact me about going and visiting your juvenile hall or whatever, you can contact me through my Facebook or my website or my Facebook page. And my book is on Amazon.com. Don't Shoot, I'm the Guitar Man. And I would recommend everybody read it. Also, there's a lesson plan for all educators that they want to have it in their juvenile hall at no cost for the lesson plan. So,
well, great. What a wonderful resource. Buzzy Martin, thank you so much for joining us today on Pipeline.
Emma, I'm more than honored. Thank you very much. Happy holidays to all your listeners out there. I'm going to do a quick shout out to my son, Casey. Merry Christmas.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
One eye open or you wake up bleeding and broken. You be told when to eat and shower and locked away another 23 hours. Seasons change from hot to cold. The sense to your life, I want you grow. Juvenile law to county jail. Greetings, my friend, I'm your prison cell. This old cage is your fate. Cold and lonely, there is no escape. If your soul, listen to me. Trust no one in this penitentiary. Walls of deception surround your head. Are you alive or already dead? No, you're committing horrible crimes. Let's be honest while you're doing time. Seasons change from hot to cold. Sense to life, I want you grow. Juvenile hall, the county jail. Greetings, my friend, I'm your prison cell. That I have to say, see you beating and rape every night and day. It's dark in here, called the solitary hole. The only light is from a distant glow. Most inmates grew up hurt and abused, hide their pain with prison tattoos. Strength to survive, they will have to find behind the prison walls until they die. Seasons change from hot to seasons change from hot to cold. Sense to life, I want you grow. Juvenile off the county jail. Greetings, my friend, I'm your prison cell.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Be sure to tune in to Radio Lost and Found. It's the show that puts the OO in KBOO. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour media scape of found sounds, forgotten records, outre recordings, and more. Coming to you every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
KBOO has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KBOO podcasts, even set KBOO as your alarm clock. Just look for KBOO on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a five-star review.